All right, everybody, Todd Coconato with Remnant Radio, and I am so pleased and honored to have two very special men of God on the program today, and I'm believing we're going to have a really anointed conversation. We just prayed, but I'm believing it's going to be a very anointed conversation. I got Pastor Mike Bickle from Kansas City. Pastor Mike, welcome to the program.
I love it. I appreciate being here.
Thank you, sir. And then Pastor Shane Eidelman from Westside Christian Fellowship up there in Lancaster. Welcome, Pastor Shane.
Welcome. It's good to be here as well, and just want to thank Mike for taking the time out.
Absolutely. And I would love to go through both of your bios, but just real briefly, so we, you know, for the sake of time, you know, Pastor Mike Bickle, just so you know, I've been to IHOP and been to One Thing. I think I went to one of the first One Things, actually.
Wow, cool. I like that.
Yes. And Pastor Lou Engel and my family, we prayed together down in Pasadena for many years. And Pastor Nets Gomez is actually one of my closest mentors. So
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I like
so
that.
I'm going to be on his show on Wednesday, actually. And so, you know, we've been following you in the movement for years. And Pastor Shane, you wrote just recently a great article that I think was featured on Charisma, kind of just talking about some of the things that you've experienced, some questions that you might have, and what a great conversation topic. So I want to kind of segue into that and let you kind of, you know, start the conversation off by telling us a little bit about the article that you wrote.
Yeah, it might be a good idea just to give the listeners an idea, and that's why I appreciate Mike coming on. I basically just emailed him and reached out a little bit. I wrote that article, is a picture worth a thousand words, a lesson for conservatives and charismatics. Charisma picked it up, Hello Christian, Christian Headlines, Christian Post, and I was just hit with a lot of negative emails as well. And that's why I reached out to Pastor Mike and said, hey, obviously we're not going to please our critics, and I know there's a lot out there. And so the conversation really isn't for that. It's kind of those people caught in the middle that are kind of having a hard time understanding a lot of things that are going on because we don't always answer our critics. We don't always give people a reason for why we do things. So I just reached out to Mike, and I'm glad he responded back. But I think the main thing was... And Mike, that's why I just want to hear your heart on it. With my background as a former a Catholic and an altar boy in a Catholic high school, and I guess from my vantage point, I think many others, it's hard to find that where we can reconcile on doctrine. Now, of course, I've got Catholic friends. Roman Catholics actually attend the church from time to time, but to share the stage and to kind of, you know, act as if it's kind of ecumenical. That's where I think people are, you know, have some questions, I guess, even including myself. So that's why I was wondering if you could maybe shed some light on that. Maybe people aren't getting the full picture, and maybe, you know, there's something out there that we're not seeing, or at least not on the same page with.
Yeah, I totally appreciate the question, actually. And as far as I'm concerned, any question is fair game. I don't mind them at all, just so you know. Like, some people get, like, say, well, don't ask about that. I say, ask anything.
Absolutely.
You can ask me how many push-ups I can do, I'll tell you. I make a big difference between the Catholic organization and individual born-again believers who still are involved in the organization, but when talked to in a personal way, are troubled by a number of things in the organization. So a born-again believer who loves Jesus, who takes the Word of God as the final authority for faith and practice, he loves Jesus, he loves the ministry of the Holy Spirit, meaning encouraging and blessing people and seeing healing happen in people's lives and their hearts, and they're Catholic, but if they're born again and they love Jesus and the Word, I can fellowship with them. I have no problem with that, because they're not asking me to agree with the system that they are still a part of, in which they don't fully agree with. And so, yeah, I don't find it so troubling, if you think of it that way.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And maybe that, again, from our vantage points, because I would, you know, with most of that, I'm right there with you. But when it comes to, you know, when they're on the stage or when we're sharing a platform with them and they are wearing, you know, the priestly garments that actually represent Roman Catholicism, it kind of sends a mixed message that, you know, we're agreeing with this. People don't hear the background to it. And again, we've got Catholic friends, so I'm right there with you. I've got lunch with them. We go to bat on issues like abortion. But that's question number one is, when we have them on stage representing, because that's really what they're doing, they're representing Roman Catholicism when they're dressed as priests and representing that. But also, if they find, you know, the doctrines troubling, such as Mary worship and the papacy and purgatory and so many other things, confession, and why are they staying in the system like a modern day Martin Luther? Is that kind of what you're seeing, or they don't feel strongly enough to break away? So I think that's where the confusion is on those two points. Is totally agree, but as far as having them on the stage at events, it seems like we're promoting ecumenicalism with the Roman Catholic Church. Again, just perception. I'm not saying.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think you're right. It does leave a mixed message. And that, to me, is one of the downsides of living in a fallen world, because the mixed message is really there, but it's not. There's 1,000 people in the room, and there's 20 different messages between those 1,000 people being received. And a couple of them are good, a couple of them are bad. Like, I know some people that are involved in the Catholic Church, and they're wearing the garb, and what they're saying is, I mean, I'm talking to a few, because there's a few that would not like what I'm about to say here. I mean, Catholic priests. They're saying, I'm a missionary to this movement, and I've been sent here by God to talk about Jesus and the Word of God, and this is my mission field, and I have to run with them, and the garb is just part of the way I identify with them. I'm not declaring the Pope is infallible. I'm not declaring it. The guy on Row 10 may think I am, but I'm not. I am here by a divine commission to bring the message of justification by faith, the beauty of Jesus, born again Christianity, to people who grew up in the Catholic Church and think that leaving it is evil, so they're never going to hear the message anywhere else. So I'm on the inside talking to them. So I have a number of Catholic friends who that's their perception. And I go, wow, I'm glad that's not my assignment, but I appreciate that. I mean, if you're really there and, you know, it's like
that probably makes a lot of sense, because they see friends and family stuck in the system, and they want to stay in that system to help them get out of the system, I guess.
Yes, and they're stuck. And you're a smart guy, so you know what I mean by this. They're stuck in a mindset, meaning they can't fathom. I mean, because they're not born again, and they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, so they're not even thinking anti-Catholic religion, quote, is even real. They're thinking, man, Catholicism is a little bit boring. That's the only option I got. So they don't even think of leaving. It's like a Jewish person who's not born again thinks, becoming a Christian, are you kidding me? That's not even an option. But then they have a Messianic Jew talk to them. They go, wow, I never knew that was possible.
Right, yeah. Right. No, that's a great point. And that's why I wanted to kind of bring up this conversation, because two things are going to happen right now. Hyper-conservatives are going to slam me for not asking harder questions or
pressing. No, ask hard. Go hard, though, but really go hard.
I'm actually right there with you. I knew there had to be a little bit more to this. It's not just a blatant endorsement, ecumenical movement. That's why I just want to hear your heart and find out kind of what's going on. But I guess even back to the other question, with events coming up, do you think it causes more damage to have them on the stage and sending people the wrong message? Let's say it might help those two or three priests and we're friends and we want to not put them on the stage, but we also want to be friends with them as well. Do you think that maybe looking out for how they would feel might outweigh what type of message it's going to send to, you know, thousands of Christians wondering, well, hey, what's going on here? Because it's hard to give everyone the backdrop of, right, hey, here's why we're doing it, this is what we found. It's just, there's pictures online of Roman Catholic priests on the stage. So maybe that would just be something we can all learn from, is what kind of message does it send to the body at large? The critics are going to have a field day. But
believe it or not, I've been in, I'm not trying to play the old man card here, but I've been in ministry for the past over 40 years, 42 years now.
Yeah.
And I have actually never met a genuinely confused person on that point. The confusion is the radical conservatives who are critical, not the lady on row 10. She says, I'm not going to join the Catholic Church. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm trying to get touched by God in this meeting. And that confusion argument, to me, is massively exaggerated, that when brought down to the true brass tacks, the grass level, who's the guy? What's his name? Who's confused? Let me talk to him. I found out there's not that many confused. They're not even thinking about it. They're just in the meeting trying to get touched by God. They don't care. Now, if there's a Satanist up there, that's a different thing. But the average, even born-again believer, isn't overly confused. They don't think about that much.
So born-again believers would say that, okay, they think Roman Catholicism is the same, or they're just...
No, they don't. If a priest is on the platform, depends on what platform it's on. If they're on a platform and that platform is got a history of believing the Bible and loving Jesus, the guy on row 10 thinks that priest loves Jesus and loves the Word of God. He's not even thinking, am I supposed to agree with the system? That's just a hypercritical, hyper-argumentative folks way to the right. They're the ones creating that confusion, and they're not confused. They're just critical. They're not confused at all what's going on.
Well, I will, and maybe I don't want to speak for Todd, too, and again, I'm just being honest and open. I'm actually confused, and I think Todd's confused. I mean, there are a lot of solid, Spirit-filled believers, love the gifts of the Holy Spirit, pray for revival, all-night prayer meetings, at the altar weeping, two-hour, three-hour worship mornings. You know, so we're right there on as far as seeking God, but I was confused. I think, you know, a lot of people, just solid Christians, were confused because it can send, and I would love to get Lou Engle on as well, too, when he kissed the feet of the priest at the here in Pasadena. It just is really confusing for those of us stuck in the middle.
Yeah,
so again, can I
chime in for a sec? Okay, because I think I'm going to play, the controversial guy here, so forgive me, please, but I'm just... I'm just trying to, stimulate the conversation some more. But I did hear some people that were genuinely concerned. And I think, my last name's Coconato. I'm Italian. My entire family's Catholic, except for my immediate family.
And my wife is all Italian, and her whole family's Catholic. I understand that very well.
So thank you.
They came from Sicily.
Yes. There you go. And so did we. Yeah, bottom of the boot. Yep. So here's the thing. I agree wholeheartedly with what you said, Pastor Mike, about, so even my dad, who's been sitting in a, evangelical, Pentecostal Christian church for years, still identifies in many ways as a Catholic. And I believe he's saved and born again and all that, I guess my question would be, and I think this is what a lot of people ask me, is, is it a wide gate strategy versus a narrow gate strategy? In other words, can somebody stay in Roman Catholic, Catholicism and pray to Mary, which we would identify as an idol worship, and be saved? Or is that, would you look at it where it's really, that's not our place to question that? Or would you say that you're just basically looking for an opportunity for an open door to then minister the gospel? Which that's kind of my...
Okay, great question. There's three or four views. Number one, can a person be in the Catholic Church, pray to Mary, and be genuinely born again? I think they can. But it's an error to pray to Mary, and I would tell them, you're totally wasting your time.
Right.
She's not listening nor answering.
Correct.
And so are you going to hell because you're talking to the air, to a woman who's not listening nor answering, and yet you love Jesus and you talk to him? I would say that's just a waste of your time. It's not a soul-damning conversation you had. I would tell them, don't do it, but to put it at the level. Now, if they're worshiping Mary... That's a little different story, because now we're worshiping somebody besides Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's a way more troubling thing if you're worshiping.
Sure.
But if you're talking in air to someone who doesn't hear you or talk back,
right,
I would just tell the guy, stop it.
Yeah.
And you go, well, it makes me feel good. It's delusional. It's not even real.
Sure.
But do you talk to Jesus? Oh, I talk to him all the time. Right. Okay. Well, that's good. So I would approach it that way. So I don't think of it. Like, I'm not trying to, quote, win the Catholics personally myself. I mean, I like it if I have the opportunity, but I don't really have that opportunity. I don't really move in that realm. I would think of the leader as a born-again believer who looks me in the eye and goes, I love Jesus, justification by faith.
Yes.
I love the Word of God as the final authority. Will you fellowship with me? I look you right in the eye and go, yes. Will people get mad at you if you do? I go, I can bear that.
Right.
That's where I'm living, is in that conversation right there. More than I feel called. I think some guys are called as evangelists to go win them and open doors and opportunities. I appreciate that.
Right.
But that's not where my energy has been.
Hmm. That's, I love your heart on that, Pastor. And Pastor Shane, did you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably, you know, agree with Mike that if somebody prays to Mary, it could be the theology is off in that area. It doesn't necessarily mean they're worshiping her. And my
but they could be. Now that's troubling if they are. Yeah, that's troubling.
Well, it's funny. I actually went to talk to a priest here in Valencia, a 4,000 person church, and he looked at me and he said, "Shane, we were talking about purgatory." He goes, "Well, how do you deal with the guilt and the shame?" And I said, "Well, how the cross? The cross?
Yeah, right. Romans 8:1. There you go.
No, yeah. So he was deeply pushing purgatory. There was a 12-foot-tall statue of Mary and Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord's with thee 15 times at memorial services. And so there's a. So I think that's what I'm hoping people can learn from here. You're right on the conservative. I call it heresy hunters, armchair quarterbacks that like to sit at home and bash anybody who does anything remotely out of their circle of doctrine,
right?
And I'm a strong doctrine person,
and so am I. Just so you know, I'm a radical strong doctrine person.
Yes,
and so my hope is that we can all learn from. Hey, maybe we should just be more considerate of what we. In other words, if I put a Roman Catholic on the priest with me, priest on the stage.
Yeah, on the stage. Right.
Yeah, it's going to send the message that hey, let's just all come together. We all believe the same. The theology of Rome is the same as Christianity, when really it's really, really different. It's not even on the same page. So I understand there's Catholics in the trenches there that are wanting to stay there, like Martin Luther, 1517, Church Doors of Wittenberg, Germany, and 95 Theses. And I got that. I just want to make sure we're sending the right message to those looking up to the leaders.
I'm not as worried, concerned about that as you are. Here's why. Again, the hypothetical guy on row 10 who's confused, he asks four questions, takes him 20 minutes, he gets his answer, he goes, "Well, I'm confused anymore." There you go. I mean, it's a low-level confusion. I've not met one that said, "Is it now okay to worship Mary?" That's what I mean by confused. I've never met that person
who thinks
justification by faith is not true because I was in a meeting. No, I've never met a person confused at that level.
And maybe I wasn't using the right word, but there are a lot of people, spirit-filled charismatics, who are maybe confused, isn't the right word, but, well, maybe it is the right word, not understanding with the message it sends. For example, in Pasadena, when they're priests on the stage, or when we're worshiping God and praying, and we know what, and I guess those people who know what Roman theology is, and they see them on the same stage, it doesn't send a very strong message to spirit-filled believers in general. I'm not talking about the far right or those who are out to get any, if you say anything charismatic, you know, you're on their hit list. Yeah, I'm talking about those who are genuinely like, wait a minute, that's kind of odd. Why?
Yeah. I'm saving the word confused, and just so that we're having fun in our definitions, as someone who is thinking something big like, justification by faith is not real. Mm. Mary is to be worshipped. That's okay. That's what I'm using confusion at that level. Mm. And that's why I made the big statement. I've never met him. But what's so bad about the guy on row 10 again, who he's got four questions. He knocks on some doors. He goes on the internet. He'll get the answers pretty easy if he just asks a few questions. Now he's not confused the rest of his life on the point. I mean, there's nothing wrong with knowing to get in a couple answers that aren't that hard to find.
No, that's true. I just meant if we have, like, I wouldn't have an imam on the stage with me. Or I wouldn't have a Hindu on the stage with me. I wouldn't have a Roman Catholic on the stage
with
me.
I might if I was defining them as a person who's not a believer, and I'm saying we are radically different. And you know what? I'm trying to win you to Jesus. And then he would laugh and say, "Yeah, I'm trying to win you. As long as we know where we're at, let's talk now." You know, I could in that sense.
Yeah, for sure. If I can have a debate,
sure.
I'm talking about a worship event where we're coming there to worship the Lord in the spirit of unity and truth and love and praying, and you know that would be, I would have to just see that as.
Well, I'll give you a situation, okay? I'll give you one. You answer this one. I'll tell you my answer first, so I'm not trying to trick you or anything. Okay. We're at a big, massive meeting. Thousands of people at it. We're in New York City. I won't name the meeting, so I don't have to name people at all, but I don't like to name people. And it's thousands are there, okay? And we're praying for Jesus, and were praying for Israel. Hmm. So 5 or 10 rabbis came on the stage and said, "We love it, but you guys are praying for Israel? Are you kidding?"
Right.
And so they came up on the stage. Now there's thousands. They don't. No one stops and says, "These guys are not born again," but they're wearing the rabbi stuff, and they're blown away that Christians are praying for Israel and we love Jesus. Then the man tells me, one of the MC, "Hey, because of them, I prefer if you just pray, but don't say the name of Jesus." I said, "I refuse to not say the name of Jesus." Mm-hmm. I go, "No way." And right. He goes, "Well, I mean, if you have to." I go, "Are you kidding me?" I go, "I'm not trying to pretend to these men or the thousands out there. Now, if I would have submitted to that in the name of friendship, that seems dishonest to me." And I said, "No, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And you got me as a prayer guy, and that's the only person I pray to besides the Father."
Right.
And I said, "I'm going to." And I said, "In the name of Jesus." And the rabbi, I didn't care. But it was the MC that troubled me, because he wasn't pretending the 10 rabbis were born again Christians. He wasn't pretending we were the same, but he wanted us to, quote, honor them. I go, "I don't know how that honors them, by me lying about what I believe." Mm. I go, "I don't got to get in their face on every point right now."
Right.
But this is core to my being, and I can't. And so I said, "You don't want me on the stage." "I'm happy. I'm not mad at you. I'll just go off the stage, but I'm not getting on that microphone without mentioning Jesus, just so you know."
Amen.
And they said, "Okay, okay," and everything ended up okay.
I love it.
Yeah, no.
What would you have done in that situation?
Well, a couple things, and I'm actually going to be in that situation here shortly. On
America. Oh, there you go. I just accidentally prophesied to you. Accidentally.
Well, to me, it goes back to what is the event. You know, if we're calling Christian believers to a let's say an afternoon of worship, we're going to seek God on our face. We're going to have powerful worship, and we're pulling down heaven. We're seeking revival.
Well, that's what that event was, actually. No one, it was a go for revival event, and thousands were there.
I personally don't think I'd have to have them on the stage in order for them to be excited that we're praying for Israel.
I don't know who put them up there. Yeah, good point. I wasn't part of that decision. I was just, when I was going up the stairs, I was informed it would be better if I honored them, and I just refused it.
Oh yeah, no, that was, I would do the same exact thing. If I was coming up to pray, and you know, and actually did that here at I haven't been asked back at Antonovich's office here. They told me not to pray in Jesus' name at the city council meeting in L.A. Hmm. And, you know, I said, "Why, did you research me before you asked me down here?" I mean,
yeah, right.
Of course I'm going to. So I guess I offended a few people. But yeah, you're put in that spot. So we're right there on the same page. But I think to answer the question is, I'm glad we talked, because you don't see an ecumenical movement with Rome theology and Christian theology coming together. You see it more outreach. Okay.
Not at all. Rome is, but neither does Rome. Rome is so entrenched. They're not remotely open to interacting in a way that minimizes the 10 or 12 of their points that we don't agree with, whatever the number is. But there's, I'm just saying 10 or 12 big categories.
And I know you can't speak for Lou. Maybe you can have him, email him, and maybe we can get him on at some point too. But why, like at the priest at the Pasadena event, you know, was it trying to just bring Catholics and Christians together?
No, I know Lou well, and Lou, we would, if he was here right now, he'd be nodding his head the entire 30 minutes we've been talking.
Yes, he would.
He would not have one point said that's wrong. I think Lou would have been saying to that man, "I know you. I know you love Jesus. I know you're criticized by many of my friends. They don't know you're born again and love the Bible and you're justified by faith. You buy that. They don't believe that. I'm letting them know I'm humbling myself to you and I'm bearing this with you because they don't get who you are." I bet that would be the backstory of Lou's on the conversation.
Hmm. But couldn't
I don't know that for a fact. Go ahead.
No, I think you're right too. But couldn't I tell that person on the back at the backstage or at lunch or... You know, I mean, I could tell them the same thing and have that same united friendship that I love you.
Yeah.
When I put you on the stage in priestly garments and I do that, it validates what you stand for, at least in the eyes of many of us who know what Roman theology teaches. So that's why I said confused. We're not questioning anybody's character, their integrity, we're just trying to better understand, you know, the thought process behind this, because that, I don't know if we have time now, but you know, that kind of draws into the NAR, or
right.
Yeah, and that's, you know, people have accused me of that, and I didn't even know what it was.
I've been accused of that too. And that when they were first accused of me, I didn't even know what they're talking about. When we said Peter Wagner, I go, oh, I know you're talking about. I'm not a part of that, but now I get what you're saying. At least I get it now.
Yeah, is that the new apostolic revolution? Is that what they're talking about?
No, new apostolic reformation.
Reformation, got it. Okay, got it. Yep. Interesting. So I
think, and it's unbelievably exaggerated, the critics are, of that. Because I know a number of the guys that are in it, and what is being said about what they're trying to do. And so I go, you know, I know those guys. That's not all what they're trying to do. They're not trying to take over all society. They don't even have churches hardly that are growing. And now, bro, they're barely making it, some of them. They don't have this imagination that all the governors in their state are going to bow down to their apostolic authority. Are you kidding? That's not in one of their minds, at least the few people who I know that are in that world.
Right.
No, yeah, I think we're supposed to be salt and light in all areas.
You know, and that's what the ones I know believe, but they don't believe they're taking over and their apostolic office is to be recognized by all the economic and the political, the academic and the military institutions. But that's what their critics think, and it's not even remotely true.
Yeah, there sure is a lot of critics out there today. A lot of people can say a lot of things from their mom's basement now. It seems like everybody has a voice. And so I think these types of conversations are so helpful. Pastor Mike, I mean, you really shed a tremendous amount of light on some of the questions that I think Shane and I had. And, you know, I really appreciate your heart. So basically what you're saying is you're not willing to compromise. You're not willing to compromise at all.
I'm not remotely pretending that what I stand for is going to be in unity with all the Catholic systems, and they're getting, that's inconceivable. Mm. And they would laugh. The Catholics would laugh at that too. They would go, "Who thinks that?"
Right.
But hey, I got a real confusing one for both of you.
Yeah.
Shane, this will throw you off. So I want you to answer, give a response. Is what I mean.
Sure.
I mean, this threw me off big time. Have you ever heard of Rinero Cantala Mesa?
Mm. No.
No.
Okay. Or over in Italy, in Rome, they call it Father Cantala Mesa, but Rinero Cantala Mesa. Okay, he was Pope John Paul's pastor for however many years he was Pope, say 30 years, I don't really know. His official title is the Apostolic Preacher of the Papal Household.
Wow.
So the Pope picked him, and the 20 times a year, whatever, I made up that number, I don't know what it wrote, where the Pope has a mass in his setting, Cantala Mesa is the preacher.
Okay.
And he did it 30 years or whatever the number was that he was Pope. And then Benedict picked him as well.
Hmm.
And there's never been a guy that did it for two popes that I know. Okay, here's the deal. Hmm. I meet this guy.
Wow.
I read his book on Romans. I'm a book of Romans fanatic. I've taught the book of Romans verse by verse through, you know, all the main 3 to 8. I love that kind of stuff. He writes a book on Romans 3 to 8. I go, well, this is going to be interesting. So I know I'm going to meet this man in some setting. And I read it, and you're not going to believe this. Now, don't make this a direct quote, but it's close.
Hmm.
It says, and the young priest, he's talking about Martin Luther, who proclaimed justification by faith. Here he is on Romans 3 in his book, like page 28, I did, or whatever it really was. He goes, he did much for the kingdom, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what he said.
Right.
I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I said, and then he said, 4 chapters later, now he's probably in chapter 8 on Victorious Life and Spirit. He says, and the saintly John Wesley, who talked about holiness of heart, blah, 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 blah. So now I meet this guy. I don't know how I got to meet him, but I met him. I go, I am confused by you. He goes, he speaks 7 languages. And he's very good English. He goes, why? I go, I read him. Page 28 and then page 56, whatever, you said Martin Luther, you honored him and justification by faith, and then you said John Wesley and holiness and walking in the spirit with no compromise. I said, how can you say that without getting in trouble? His answer blew my mind. He goes, I get in trouble all the time.
Mm.
I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, I am hated by many people.
Wow.
I don't care. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for it.
Mm.
I went, I don't even know how to answer what you just told me. That was so profoundly true. I go, so you're just justification by faith is yes, that is incredibly important doctrine to me. Mm-hmm. And holiness of John Wesley and the revival movements, I didn't know what to say to this man. Mm-hmm. I just said, you know what? There's a lot. I go, how did you? I go, why? Don't you get in trouble? And he said it so emphatically. He goes, I'm hated by many.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm in trouble all the time. Wow. I don't care. Hmm. I'm going to answer to Jesus. He's the Pope's pastor for 30 years. Oh, so that's my point.
So he's a priest.
Oh, yeah, he's a priest since he's 20 years old. I mean, I don't know exactly.
Wow.
His entire, I mean, he is entrenched at the center of the center, and many bishops hate him with a passion.
Wow.
Oh, I bet. Well, I mean, Martin Luther would have stayed, as far as the biographies I read, he was not jumping out of it immediately. He was staying as a priest, and he was going and preaching justification by faith alone and Christ alone, and he actually had to be removed by the papacy.
I mean, a little bit like Wesley and the Anglicans, a little bit of the same story.
Yeah, because, I think there are people then within the system that are, you know, standing up for what is right, and that's why I want to give listeners just a clear picture of when there is Catholic involvement, maybe all of us can be a little bit more, you know, not receptive, but sensitive to what, you know, I don't say compromise friendships because we don't want to, you know, offend people.
There's a stigma, good.
Yeah, right. Maybe looking at the whole picture. I remember John MacArthur was given the opportunity to preach at the Mormon Tabernacle. He turned it down. Ravi Zacharias took it and caught a lot of criticism for that. So I think each man is, you know, should go based on his own personal conscience, but also just being aware that who we sit, like with Francis and Todd White and Benny Hinn, you know, that's been a big thing out recently. You know, just being careful and selective.
I love it.
I'm glad Francis spoke to that group. I mean, I'm glad Francis brings a hard message into people that need to hear it. So,
Francis is the real deal. That's all I got to say.
What do you think about identifying with, certain people?
It's just tricky. It's tricky stuff. I'm going to say one more thing about Cantor Mesa, because he's the one that threw me off. This was maybe 15 years ago. I don't even know if he's still alive, because he was pretty old then, you know, and so I don't even know. But, I'm not claiming I got it exactly right. He said this on page 28, because some guy out there will say, well, I'm 28. I just pulled that that number, but he honored those two men. Justification by faith and holiness is my point, and said that men were against him. Not everybody, but I just didn't know what to do with that. But anyway, going to your thing, there's a platform you're preaching on that another person is responsible, has the authority over. Meaning, when I go to Brother Bill's platform over far on the East Coast somewhere, I just made that up. He is more responsible for what's said on that platform. I'm going, I don't think I have to know what was said at the 2 o'clock session before I could talk at the 7 o'clock session. I go there to speak at the 7 o'clock session based on the word, what's in my heart, and I'm going to take a stand for that, and I'm not responsible for every breakout they have and who spoke at it, and I got to correct them and get it clean before I can talk at the 7 o'clock session. Hmm. One guy feels he has to do that. I don't. Now, if it's my platform that I have the authority over, that's a different story. Then I need to have an answer for the 2 o'clock session and who says what at it. So I see those as two distinct, different situations.
Hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah, no, I'm there with you. And that's what I think Francis was doing, bringing the gospel to maybe an audience that doesn't hear that as often. My big beef wasn't why did Francis speak? It was why did, you know, Benny Hinn. I mean, I might have a different view. I don't want to go off on this, but from what I've seen, I just so many dangerous statements and just not good stuff. So that would have been my big concern as a conference promoter is not Francis Chan, but having other people on the stage as well. But that's a good point. It's one thing if you know who you're sharing the stage with. Also, you know, just sharing the stage doesn't necessarily mean that you identify.
Right. That's the point I'm making. And because the guy way over the corner, that leader, thinks you're identifying, I don't have to bear that yoke because he says, you are now identified. I go, no, I'm not. Hmm. I gave my message. You deserve my 42 minutes of what I said. That's what I stand for. Not the guy up there that I didn't. I mean, I knew he would be up there, but I didn't even make reference to him. But that guy over in the corner says, you are now him. And I go, no, I'm not. I don't accept that yoke. I refuse it.
That's good.
And I appreciate you putting it on me, but I don't have to live under it. I don't have to answer that. I would out of kindness, but I wouldn't feel. But again, if I'm the head of a conference and I put the guy there, yeah, that's a different story. That's a different story.
That's great. Hey, you know, I got one more question for you, Pastor Mike. You know, while we're talking about this, this is the type of show that tends to go viral because people are hungry for this type of information. So I just wanted to, you know, because I'm putting everything out that I've heard because I want to, you know, give you this opportunity, and I appreciate your heart so much. And this has really helped me a lot, too. Some people are coming out of, like, sort of the Bethel movement and some of the things, and they're really focused on the prophetic. And I know that you really have a heart for the Word of God. What would you say to, like, the young person that maybe doesn't spend time in the Word? They're really focused on the prophetic, you know, and I believe in the fivefold ministry gifting 100%. But, you know, how important is it to really know the Word of God, Pastor?
Yeah. Do you know Leonard Ravenhill? Do you know that name?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. You know, the old biz.
Okay, good. Okay, you know him. I one of my great privileges of life is I got to be a friend of him. I spent maybe 10 or 15 times I got to be with him. So, and he came to Kansas City had full times for 10 days at times. So I got to know him a little bit. He was one of my heroes in the 70s and 80s. So that was like, wow, literally. You know, anyway, he used to say this. He used to say this. He says, the spirit without the word, the judges, will blow up. The word without the spirit, the Pharisees, will dry up.
Yes.
He says, the word and the spirit, the true prophets, you will grow up. There he said, one will blow up, one will dry up, one will grow up. But I would say that I have found any time you're trying to move out in the spirit and you have a lack of value for the written word, that's obviously dangerous, and that you don't want that. There's so much hype and there's so much goofy stuff you can get into. But here, being a pastor for 40 years plus, I have found not 100%, but a lot of young people get all energized about, like, oh, I want to have this vision, blah, blah, blah. And 2 or 3 years later, many of them have moved on to the next thing. So I don't look at it as thinking this is a 30-year pattern and they're going to get stuck over in a cult.
That's good.
I would talk to them and say, you got to get into Bible training. Come on, you got to. And they go, yeah. I mean, maybe they wouldn't.
Right.
And as a father in my heart, I would think, you know, they're 21. I bet when they're 24, they're not even fully in this in the way they are now. So I'm not non-concerned. I don't want to be cavalier about it.
Right.
But lots of times they move to the next season. You know, everything is healing. Everything is healing. Well, 3 years later, and they haven't seen as many healings as they're hoping. And they go, well, let's get everything soul winning now, okay? Which I love that. And well, 3 years later, they've only had 4 people to the Lord. Well, what God really wants is a transformed society, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm in some way not getting a clear answer. I would always want to anchor them in the Word and anchor them in a Bible-believing community of people where their safety will be found. And I don't overly worry if they're young and it's a 2 or 3 year exaggerated focus. And to the degree I have influence, I would get them into the Word of God in a systematic way and into a Bible-believing community with older people who love the Word. That's what I'd always try to do, but I wouldn't overly worry about it if it was just a couple of years where they were kind of overdoing something.
Yeah. Wow. What a great answer. Thank you. But Pastor Shane,
Go ahead.
Well, I think what's happening, too, is a lot of people are saying, what are the prophets saying? What are the prophets saying? Versus what is Jesus Christ saying to you every day in his Word? A prophetic word. Abraham went years on a prophetic word. The prophetic word is when, like, Wayne Grudem in his book on systematic theology explains it as God spontaneously bringing something to mind to benefit the other person or convict the other person. So I don't think we live off that. Just like Mike said, we live off the Word of God. But from time to time, I know just people have said, "Hey, God's put this on my heart. It has helped me tremendously." But I don't think we should be living for it. That's what's happening. And even I know, I mean, I don't want to criticize because I really want to hear the other side. But one of the things about Bethel that has came out is, well, you know, people miss it a lot. And I'd rather just have them shoot and hope for the best. But when you say, thus saith the Lord, you better know, you know, God has put that on your heart. So I think a cavalier approach is can be unhealthy.
I agree with the cavalier approach for sure.
Yeah, you don't need to hear what the prophetic words every week. You need to get on, allow the word of God to penetrate your heart and stay, pray, and obey the word of God. And then prophecy comes on supplemental, when we need conviction or assurance or peace or confidence. And that's pretty much what we see the gifting is. So I see what you're talking about, Todd. It seems to be a big push. It's all about the prophetic. And it takes really away from obedience to the word of God. And if it's odd, it's God. It seems to be the new mantra. You know, if it's weird, it must be God.
If it's odd, it's God.
Oh, man.
But, I know Bill Johnson, and if he was here and heard the last 3 minutes, he would agree with that.
Yeah.
Because Bill Johnson is a Jesus-exalting word of God man. But his movement is growing so big, so fast. I mean, he's got 2,000 kids in his school. Hmm. How, what? They're, who knows what every kid's doing?
Right.
And they're all on social media.
Right.
But Bill, I know Bill is a Jesus-focused, my favorite statement is, he was Jesus' perfect theology. The written word of God is our guide. I mean, he would say that like, boy, in the downline of excited kids, that is not easy to keep all that measured in the right way.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just don't know if you
totally understand. Yeah.
He's a great man. And Bill Johnson's a really good man.
Yeah. You know,
and I don't know enough about the movement to, you know, we've got kind of our hands full here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And that's how I feel at IHOP. I am so buried by some of the goofy things that friends and enemies do in our midst and say we do, and I go,
oh my
gosh. I am not. We got an open mic for 20 years that I
sure.
You can go on the mic front. It's an open mic and it's on the internet.
Oh my god.
We have several million people a year of different people who tap into us, 3 or 4 million, some number like that. I don't even know what it is. But anybody can put on the mic. I just cringe. I go, oh my god.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they come from all over the earth. I don't know what they're going to say. We don't monitor their prayer before they take it to pray for revival.
Right.
And we've heard some of the stupidest things. We talk to them, like, honey, you can't say that. Just, well, God told me to. I go, no, he didn't. Mm. You can never say that again. It's already on live on the internet. On archives. And I think, what a weird world.
Oh, wow. Do you have something to say?
I want to be respectful of you guys' time. This is amazing, amazing conversation, by the way. If we could just close out our conversation on Catholicism. And, you know, to my family, let's just say it's my family that's listening right now, your family, people that are honestly seeking, you know, what would you say to them? You know, they might have heard some things today, and maybe they are a little bit offended by some of the things that were said. You know, how can we, and I'll start with you, Pastor Mike, you know, how can we reach out and just show the love of Jesus and explain our heart in the best that we can right now?
I would say set your heart on knowing Jesus, but he's the living word, and he will be in full agreement with the written word. So whatever you think about Jesus, the living word, it will be backed up by Jesus, the written word. And so anything we said that you can't find in the written word, throw it away. But at least check out the written word. That's all I would ask them. I tell our students when they join us, I say this every semester, every year. If you hear me say anything you don't see with your eyes and your Bible, you can challenge me. I just ask you to do it with humility, but challenge me. That is your responsibility to challenge me. So I would tell that to your Catholic friends and family.
That's beautiful.
Challenge us if you can't find it in the Bible.
I love that. Pastor Shane, did you want to chime in on that?
Well, I'd probably say the same thing that it's not, and people say this, why are you beating up on Catholics or why are you coming against Catholics? I actually love Catholics. We're not really doing that. What we're doing, though, is we're letting people know there's a stark difference between what Rome teaches. You can go to catholic.com or .org, and it says on there that Mary is still interceding for us on our behalf in heaven. That's just absolutely incorrect. The purgatory, that the cross of Christ was not enough, that we're still going to go be punished for. I mean, these are some big, big discrepancies in doctrine. So it's
Those are big ones.
Yeah, and it's the love of people that actually compels us to share the truth.
That's right.
If we didn't love people, we wouldn't say a word. We just go on living our lives. But it's because we love people. Look at what the Bible says, and look at what Roman Catholicism teaches, the system, and you'll see there's some big differences there. And just like Mike said, turn your eyes to Christ, repent fully, give him your life. And I've got Catholics coming to know the Lord, I mean, quite often,
yeah.
Because they realized they were trusting in a religious system. They counted on the church for salvation, and they realized that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. So that would be my closing point, is to repent and believe in Christ, and let that be the finished work of the cross be what you hang your hat on, not some religious system.
I love that. And I'll just add this, you know, I went to King's College and Seminary. I came up under Pastor Jack Hayford's ministry for many years. And one of the things that he really loved to do is to be a device of unity in the body. And you guys can see, obviously, the fruit of his ministry. And, you know,
great man of God.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I would say, you know, is that there's no denominations in heaven. You know, it's really true. I mean, we've made denominations here on earth, but there's no denominations in heaven. And so it's really about a wholehearted relationship with Jesus Christ, accepting him in our heart, being our Lord and our Savior, having relationship with him each day, having a prayer life, knowing his word, you know. And so if we can apply that, and I would just say to the people that are out there, they're very quick to criticize. What a beautiful conversation today. I mean, what a holy, we prayed for the Holy Spirit to come. I believe he did, and answered a lot of questions here. And I'm encouraged. Are you guys encouraged? Or Pastor, are you encouraged?
Yeah, I am. I would say one more quick thing. I want you to give Pastor Netz a hug for Mike Bickle. Because you said you're a part of his ministry. I love Pastor Netz.
Oh, he's such
and
a great.
Shane, I look forward to meeting you face to face and giving you a hug and fellowship with you. We have a kindred spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be great. And Todd, I think it's important to even leave. There's actually a group of people that aren't going to like this. They're against anyone that's charismatic. And they hang their hat on when that which is perfect comes out, which is in part will be done away with. And I was just thumbing through John Calvin's commentaries on 1 Corinthians, and he says that has to do with when Christ comes again. So for us to believe that the gifts are still available, I think it's you actually have to do more turning of Scripture to make it say that they're not.
That's right.
We're simply believing that they are available today. We don't see it, the mass healings like we saw in the Bible, but it happens in the mission field. It's happening all around. I think people should be just not cautious, but open. Those maybe who are hyper-conservative, just have you fully surrendered your life. Stop being so critical. Stop letting pride, you know, prevent you from the fullness of the Spirit. And I'm hoping repentance takes place on that end as well.
Amen. Amen.
I love it.
Powerful.
And I wish, and I would pray that the people who believe in the gifts would steward them in a more excellent way and with a spirit of humility and servanthood. Many do, but some don't.
That's right.
A greater excellence and a greater humility in their gifts and the way they share their gifts. So they're serving and not grandstanding, saying, I got it and you don't. That's one of the main underlying issues that offends so many conservatives.
Yes, it sure does. I remember when I experienced the Holy Spirit, life changed. Boy, did it ever. You know what? Maybe, Mike, you could close out with this, Todd. Todd, you don't mind.
No.
You know, people are going to email and ask about, Mike's endorses the Kansas City Prophets. So what is that in a nutshell?
What is the Kansas City Prophets?
Is that old news?
In reality, they never existed. Meaning, there were 10 or 12 guys, half of them did not live in Kansas City, and a man far away over in England called them the Kansas City Prophets. He came up with the title. And when I saw the title, I go, these guys, half of them don't even agree with each other, and they don't all like each other.
Wow.
I go, that group's not real. And then it got in a lot of magazines. Then it became a fact of history. And I know those 10 or 12 guys. Most of them never lived in Kansas City. And a bunch of them didn't like the other one nor agree with the other one. And I said, that is the weirdest. And I get asked, through the years, Kansas City Prophets. I go, not exactly. Now, if you want to ask about Paul Keen and Bob Jones, I could talk about those two men. But they wouldn't have said, I'm a Kansas City Prophet. And me, I certainly would never acknowledge that word or never acknowledge it. Never had, ever. In 36 years, I've been a Kansas City.
Wow. Amazing.
That's good. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I mean, that kind of
Hey,
There you go.
You know, I just appreciate it. I want to let you guys, I know we've been on almost an hour, so I want to be sensitive of your time, but thank you so much for taking the time. If you can just hold on, would one of you close us out in prayer? I would love that.
Go ahead.
You want to do, are you sure?
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, let me do that. Lord, we just, first I thank you for this conversation. I pray that this launches unity within the body of Christ for those who truly desire unity, Lord.
Yes,
for those who want more, they want clarification, they want to be full of your Spirit, they want to be united, Lord, just as you and the Father are united. So I pray that this message and this talk would help many people find that middle ground, and we just thank you for what you're doing. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just fall upon our nation. God,
yes.
We need you.
Yes.
Our governments need you. Our schools need you. So, Lord, we pray that you would bring that revival that is desperately needed, and we pray this in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. I love it. I agree.
Amen. We got Pastor Mike Bickle and Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find them online. They both have websites and information on there. We thank you, gentlemen. We honor you. If you could just hold on 1 minute here, and we will be back with more Remnant Radio.